show.
With five laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. He just went off.
Going to retirement. Somebody may have vomiting. Going in, I'm vomiting. I've got a drug.
Understood. Bump.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rag Guy on the mics. How do you do, Rag Guy?
It's a big week. It's a big
week. A lot. This is the wave cresting right now.
Testing resumes. Drive to Survive debuts on Friday.
The wave is testing right now, I guess. We're at the test crest.
Yes.
And then that goes right into Drive to Survive. And then, as you mentioned, we're going to have to digest all that in a week and review it here for the people before we're actually starting the friggin' season.
Yeah. The Bahrain Grand Prix is the weekend after this weekend. It's right around the corner, dude.
Unbelievable, man.
Get your fantasy lineups set.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some mailbox, box here and touch on some news. There's been some funny stuff in the news and some more sad Haas news, which is always, there always is as well.
Yep. So, but first,
yeah, let's crack into the mail. Box. Remember to hit up the mail box. You can call and leave a voicemail or shoot a text to 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. Or slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on social media. So go do that after we go through these.
So Moot, one of our most loyal listeners, Ken, DM'd us on Instagram and he said, enjoyed the latest episode. I was surprised by how much you guys sandbagged on the number of championships Max will rack up. Is it a coincidence that the contract is for 7 more seasons, and at the end of that, Max will have 8 championships and therefore be the GOAT? I think not. Go Max, Max, Supermax.
Yeah, we all know Ken is the resident Supermax fan, Supermax super fan. And we were both saying we could see 2 in this extension, so giving him 3 at the end of it. But Ken, obviously, his glass is more than half full. It's overflowing.
Yeah.
And he has him running 7 more off in a row to go with this for 8 straight to become the most decorated driver champion.
Yeah. At which point, everyone will have stopped watching F1 because they will be sick of watching Max win 8 straight.
Yeah, the shoe would be on the other foot, right? All the
people didn't like Hamilton.
All the big Hamilton fans would be complaining about it. The Max fans would love it, where for the past, 5+ years, it's felt like the other way for Hamilton's run. So,
right.
Wild times.
I'll give Ken credit. He never wavers. He is forever optimistic and confident in Max every weekend.
Exactly. He never gets down on Max. He's always, he just dusts himself off and moves on to the next race or next season where he expects Max to win and a race and or a title.
He's committed.
Yeah.
He's committed to the Orange Army.
Yeah. Right, guy, we also had Rafi hit us up on DeGram. He said, so, not to make this political, but when Azerbaijan did the exact same thing to Armenia last year and the year before, no one said shit about it, and they held a race in Baku while Azerbaijani troops were kidnapping civilians. The press didn't cover it, and it wasn't a global power. Fuck, it sucked. And I do believe that Hungary and Azerbaijan will get roped into this. I don't think kicking Mazepin out is fair as a driver, but I do believe dropping Urokali is right. And Mazepin is only there because of Urokali, so if Urokali is out, then Mazepin is unfortunately a byproduct of that. Not his fault, but I ain't really about to shed a tear either. If he was a great driver and winning, come on, a driver at Haas winning. If he was a great driver and winning, Haas might have fought harder to defend him, but he's not, and they won't. So there's a lot of incendiary stuff in there.
Yeah, before we unpack all that.
He's going in a geopolitical deep dive.
Rafi might have to become our geopolitical correspondent for the show.
Mm-hmm.
He brings up an interesting point, though. Like, what if, hypothetically speaking, of course, and everyone's going to laugh at what I'm about to say, but what if Nikita Mazepin was really good and he was the reigning champ? What would F1 have done then? Kicked his ass out?
No, I think they would have done what they already did. Because think about it. The FIA said can't race as under the Russian flag or Belarusian flag.
You don't think... Yeah, but Haas dropped him.
Yeah. because he's not winning. Haas wouldn't have dropped him if he was a world champion. Of course not.
Well, maybe it would have taken a little bit longer, or there would have been more friction. That's like
We're living in the hypothetical world, you're not going to drop your world champion. We've seen it in every sport that rules get bent and, you know, malfeasances or whatever are ignored for the stars.
Yeah, but it's interesting this time because he was bringing a truckload of cash to the team.
Yeah, they had no choice but to do
it. Normally money talks
always. The winds were blowing.
I know.
We saw where the wind was blowing, Ryan. They couldn't keep trotting a Euro Collie covered car out there with the Russian flag on it and a Russian driver. There was no chance.
Yeah. Let's go back to the first part of Rafi's message. So I don't know what to tell you, Rafi. I mean, just overall, this is a bigger conflict, and the players are more center stage. U.S. has obviously been sort of in bed with Ukraine over the years and Russia. But it's just a completely unprovoked attack by Russia. I think that's the big thing here. That's why it's being so denounced globally. What happened in Armenia back, a year ago? Almost 2 years ago now. That was terrible as well. Didn't get anywhere near the coverage it needed. But I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, that's where we live, right? The things, the news covers the things they want to, or the things that get clicks, or the things that reach a certain threshold. And things that get covered then get, you know, the vocal minorities on social media and otherwise to press on it.
Right.
And then you have things like this happen, you know, in random countries all over the world, in random sports, where they start trying to make the change that they can around whatever way the wind is blowing, right? And when no one knows about or is getting any coverage of, you know, the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia, then there's not going to, you know, a sport isn't going to put their neck out there and say, hey, I know it's not getting coverage, but we're really upset with what's going on between whatever random countries. And, you know, it is different because they're racing in those areas.
Well,
I think
the bottom line
is,
it's different because Russia's a superpower. Armenia, Azerbaijan, they're not.
There's a lot more.
There are geopolitical players in that part of the world per se, but not like it's Russia we're talking about.
And there's
it's a
big
bad wolf.
There's a lot more tentacles from Russia in Formula One, right? You have a Grand Prix, you have a driver, you have sponsors not only on the Haas, you have Kaspersky, you have other Russian companies sponsoring different teams up and down the grid, right?
Yeah.
Not as title sponsors, but there's a lot more.
Multiple Russian drivers.
There's no Azerbaijani drivers and sponsors, and, you know, it's just a race, and, you know.
The bottom line is this is the one that F1 could just not ignore, Rafi. The shit that's going down
exactly.
in Ukraine.
Every sport and every company are happy to ignore all these things. It's just when things get enough coverage and enough outrage, then companies and sport will react.
Yeah, and by the way, Rafi said, I do believe that Hungary and Azerbaijan will get roped into this, referring to the invasion of Ukraine.
Their support of Russia, yeah.
Yeah, well, Hungary just by proximity. If this thing gets worse, yes. I hope we're wrong, Rafi. I would hate to see more races dropped because of this war. But wars are serious. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But we keep getting dragged into these geopolitical war discussions.
It's a big topic, though, man.
I know. It's in the back and front of
everybody's mind. It's
literally
affecting every single person's life on the planet. It's the inflation it's causing. It's exacerbating global inflation. Fuel prices are a show.
Yeah, but
they're a shit show.
The good news, we have Drive to Survive to take our mind off it coming out this Friday.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. The F1 teams are going to get hit hard by these new fuel prices.
Yeah.
Brutal. This economy, brutal.
Sebastian Vettel's going to run out of fuel because they're going to be trying to scrimp and save, and they're going to underfill all the cars.
Yeah, did they factor that into the cost cap? Inflation this year?
Right, the fuel cost.
Woo!
Teams are going to be able to develop.
Haas is
going to
go broke.
Yeah.
Haas will go broke. They lost the Earl Colley money, and now they're going to pay crazy fuel prices.
You're going to see Pietro Fittipaldi siphoning gas out of the other cars just to get the Haas out on track.
They're only going to have enough money to run one car's worth of fuel. Too funny. All right, Raul hit us up. I love this. He DM'd us on Instagram. He sent us a little post about the news that Kimi Raikkonen did not stay retired for too long. Kimi is now the team principal of the Kawasaki Racing Team in MXGP. I can't envision him being a team principal at all.
Yeah, like actually going into the office. Like,
what's he going to say? He fucking never talks.
Is he actually going to be traveling around with this team as team principal?
I guess, but...
Remember, I would be
surprised if the team is a mess.
I love this when any athletes retire and say, you know, it's been fun. I really just need to go spend more time with my family and
Kimi
my
never
kids.
Never said that, though.
But it's more, people always imply that when people retire.
Right.
So I always find it funny when guys retire and then immediately go to a gig that's probably the same, if not more demanding of their time. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Kimi, he was retired for like 3 weeks, I think. The last race of the season was in December, and this announcement was like mid to late January.
Yeah. No grass grown under Kimi's feet.
No. Just tells me he doesn't like being at home with the wife and kids for too long. He likes it in doses.
Yeah, he likes to get out on two wheels, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, our boy Hazilla also texted us. This was just him heaping a lot of praise on us, which we appreciate. We're always here for you, Hazilla. He said, great to have y'all back in my podcast lineup. The last few episodes of last season were epic. The hype audio mix that y'all made for leading up to the final race was amazing. I agree with him there. I listened to that a million times. The awards episode was great, per usual. Having y'all back now is also great. Thank you for the entertainment. You're welcome, Azilla.
You're welcome.
We ain't going anywhere. We
Thanks
appreciate the feedback. And yeah, that's everything for the mail. Box, box, box. You all know how to hit us up.
All right, now let's put on our suits and our news broadcaster voices because it's time for
box,
the news.
Box, box, box.
That was the mail. Box, 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 box.
Moot, the Haas cargo plane has broken down in Turkey, and they may miss the first day of testing. So you have to ask yourself, when will it stop just raining pure shit on this team? They can't catch a break. They can't do anything right. And now they might miss some testing.
It's
they had the most wind tunnel time of any team, and now they're missing testing time.
It's crazy. Well, yeah, I mean, they may. I have a feeling they're going to find a way to get it there, because if it's in the Turkish airport in Istanbul, there's a zillion planes there. The place is a madhouse. I'm pretty sure they'll find a way to hitch a ride for their gear to Bahrain.
I don't know.
But it is more indicative of just what can go wrong will go wrong for Haas. Like, we've joked about in recent years, like, just mistakes seem to find them.
Can we call that
controversy? But this year is a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. They can't turn a foot right.
They lose their title sponsor. They kick out one of their two drivers. Now they stick in their hot young stud isn't really a stud. And they still are kind of waffling about who their second driver will be. It's a whole disaster. And then they can't get gear through the airport.
I know. They were deep in bed with a couple of Russians with dirty Russian money, and then Russia invades another country. I mean, you literally can't make it up. There seems to be a dark cloud over this team.
Yeah.
And by the way, can we call that Gunther Steiner's law? What can happen will happen.
Yeah, what can't go wrong will go wrong. See, you like to paddle Gunther. I'm more supportive of Gunther. I'm not in the
same
boat.
Because you like his personality.
Yeah,
worked for Gunther, you would slam your head against the wall.
I don't know, because I think a lot of it is the way he's portrayed on the show. For him to still be sticking around there, and it seems like the drivers like him, you know, I think Drive to Survive paints him in a much different light. Granted, the team sucking at some point has to rest on his shoulders.
How do you know the drivers like him?
Just from interactions I've seen and the comments they've made.
You're
blowing smoke over there. What do you know about Gunther Steiner? See on Drive to Survive?
I know he's a joke of a team principal. No, his body of work is terrible as a team principal.
I thought you were going to make a shaming joke about his body.
No, his body's normal.
His body's gorgeous.
Typical older Euro male body.
Yeah.
Euro male body.
Yeah. More Haas news. This is interesting because...
Again, weird stuff from Haas here.
So Pietro Fittipaldi has been their reserve driver for like the past 2-3 seasons, probably, right? He has been announced as Mazepin's replacement just for testing in Bahrain, because they came out and said, yeah, that's the duty of the reserve driver, is to step in for a moment like this and do the testing, get the laps in the car, but we will still be looking for someone more seasoned and with more experience, basically also someone faster, because Fittipaldi hasn't shown any penchant for going quickly.
They're saying it, and what they're saying in the nicest way possible is, Pietro, you're not good enough. You're arguably as bad as Mazepin, if not worse, and you don't bring any money to the table. You are not racing this car.
Yeah, so the rumor mill is spinning again. We already joked about this before Mazepin was even kicked out, Ryan, that we'd love to see Hülkenberg, that Giovinazzi would make some sense, that Ferrari would kick him over to Haas to be their second driver. Kevin Magnussen's name is back in the fold, I guess.
I don't think he would do it.
I don't think he would either. I think he's like won races at IMSA, right?
He's fucking busy.
He's not
going to get dragged away from the racing he's doing
now.
To
go be in the backmarker of backmarkers dysfunction at Haas in Formula 1?
Get all the blame put on you by Gunther Steiner.
And it's not like he has any experience. These are brand new cars. It's a brand new generation of cars.
Yes. To me, Nico Hülkenberg would be a much more logical choice.
I really would like to see Hulk back up there. Some of the best hair on the grid. Always smiling, you know. He proved he was quick, dude. Remember he went out and, what, qualified second?
Yeah.
In that Force India, like 2 years ago?
It was really good, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Antonio Giovinazzi, though. It's going to be him. He has the most recent.
It's easiest. He's already traveling with Ferrari, so Gene Haas won't have to buy a plane ticket, right?
He has some financial backing.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
My money's on Giovinazzi.
Yes, and keeping with that Italian theme, Ryan, some Italian news breaking in Italy.
Yeah, so Imola, which is where they do the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix.
Yes.
Imola has been renewed through 2025, so it's going to be on the calendar for a few more years. That's a good thing, in my opinion.
I agree. We're seeing a lot of...
It's a legacy track.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of tracks get those longer-term extensions. COTA just got renewed through the same term, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't have been hot on this like 10 years ago because when we first started watching F1, Imola was on the calendar for a few of those years. And the races were always boring as fuck there. But these two races we've had now, back-to-back years, have been awesome. So I'm all for it. And secondly, and most importantly, their trophies are lit as fuck every year.
It's funny. That's what I was waiting to say as well, that I'm more
their
excited because they've
lit.
Been bringing it with the trophies. Very different designs. The lightning bolt last year, right?
Yeah.
The year
metal
before
lightning bolt,
was the track outline with the Senna diamond.
With a diamond on the part of the track where Senna passed away.
Yeah, they've given us diversity of and creative trophies, which we can respect the hell out of. So good to see Imola renewed to show us even more trophies for the next few years.
Yeah, that's really all it boils down to. If you make sick trophies, we don't care what track you are.
Exactly. Ryan, another fun one. We didn't even realize this in the fog of Otmar Szafnauer getting
his
the boot.
Departure.
Yeah, getting the boot or quitting or whatever happened between him and
he
Larry
resigned,
Stroll.
Right?
Right.
Larry gave him the dignity of resigning.
So he leaves. Otmar leaves Aston Martin, goes over to Alpine, brings BWT Pink with him. And we kind of missed the news of Aston Martin appointing Mike Crack to fill Otmar's shoes.
What a name.
Or to fill his slacks. To send that Mike Crack into his slacks to be the team principal of Aston Martin.
Anybody who takes the team principal post at Aston Martin is just a glutton for punishment. Like, they're just looking to be abused. Because you know you've got Larry Stroll breathing down your neck all day, every fucking day. He's always trying to talk to you, but he never has time to talk to you. You get to his office, he's like, I got a meeting in 5 minutes. Plane takes off in 10 minutes. Sandwich is ready in 20 minutes.
I'm just looking forward to so many jokes with Mike Crack. That's a fake name like Mike Roch or like, right?
Mike Hunt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like all the derpy like grade school fake names that you would try and get someone to say on like a PA. Mike Crack is now another one of those that we're going to get to hear. Hopefully, at some point, we get Larry Stroll saying something like, you know, and Mike Crack is in a world of hurt after what, you know. Like,
yeah. Larry Stroll.
And we could get an audio poll of someone talking about their crack, sounding like they're talking about their butt crack.
Larry Stroll is giving a mouthful to crack right now.
Yeah.
He's chewing out Mike Crack.
Such a hilarious name, dude.
I can't wait. More Aston Martin news, Rye Guy. So you think this is a bluff, but go ahead, lay out what the Aston Martin news is here.
All right, so here's your headline.
I guess it's non-news news.
Well, we'll just be clear about this. Starting in 2026, there's going to be new engine regs, meaning new engines for all these teams. Here's your headline. Aston Martin is considering making their own engine for the new 2026 engine regs. That's a big statement and posture to take for them. They want to make a bespoke engine starting in 2026.
They also, at that point, Ryan, they'll be world champions because...
No, they won't.
Because wasn't Larry Stroll's demand when he brought in Martin Whitmarsh was in 5 years we'll win a title?
Was it five or three?
I think it was five, but either way, 5 years means they'll be winning a title by then.
It's going to be...
So you'll have a title-winning team, much like Red Bull, potentially trying to develop their own engines.
Look...
I think this is just they saw what Red Bull did, and like you said, they know they're probably going to try and switch to whichever engine is hot.
But Red Bull didn't do what he's describing. Like, they literally just bought the IP for the Honda power plant.
Right.
That's not building your own engine. That's what they're saying they're going
to
do.
But Aston Martin is an actual car company compared to Red Bull.
Yeah, but they don't run their own engines in their cars.
I know. It's slightly different, but I don't know. I mean, Larry Stroll just loves blowing smoke. He never cheats. He never lies. I think this guy loves being in the news, either by shit-canning or having Otmar Szafnauer leave in the middle of the night so he can bring in Mike Crack.
Aston Martin makes, unless I'm wrong, they make their road-going engines for their sports cars in partnership with Cosworth. So they don't even do that by themselves. I think this is all smokescreen.
For what reason? Just to basically say, like,
maybe
we might not be happy with Mercedes.
Maybe they're lobbing a threat to Mercedes, saying, you know, we might leave you. We don't like the clout that Toto holds over other Mercedes-powered teams.
I don't think Mercedes gives a shit about that.
I don't think so either.
Are we getting split safety cars again this year between Mercedes and Aston Martin?
I don't know.
Man, we need to get confirmation on that. We'll know soon enough because was the Aston Martin in Bahrain last year? Did they take the first race or Mercedes kicked off the season? I can't remember.
Say that again?
Which safety car kicked off last season in Bahrain?
I don't remember. Probably the Aston Martin.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if the Aston Martin safety car, if that running gag that we have that they never actually get to be out on track happens again this year if they're splitting time with the Mercedes.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think this is all bluff from... This quote came from Mike Crack.
Oh, Mike Crack said this.
Yes.
It came out of Mike Crack?
Yeah, it came out of Mike Crack.
Escape from Mike Crack? Unbelievable.
They're cracking.
Unbelievable, yeah.
I think this is a bunch of smoke. They're not going to do that. It'd be extremely expensive. They've already invested so much money in building this new facility.
A lot of people say a lot of things right now in Formula 1.
By the way,
I just can't wait for cars to hit the track so they'll do the talking. Not Mike Crack.
By the way, somebody needs to tell...
Not Mike Crack spilling the beans.
Right, enough Mike Crack jokes, dude. For now. If Larry Stroll's got another thing coming, if he thinks he can win a title in 5 years with the rate at which he's firing people, like the turnover rate there is absurd from what we've heard.
Yeah, we discussed that last season where there are all these rumors of a lot of factory personnel and others leaving. Yeah.
Yeah, you think he fired the guy who chose the paint color for the car last year that we met?
Yeah,
on
we talked about that like in the first episode. That for sure, that guy got booted out onto the curb immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Probably last year when they were starting to get shit for how dark the car was.
You need to do your Larry impression again. It's too dark. You can't see it on TV.
Larry, I need to practice. I need to hear some more Larry. I'm gonna get some more Larry from Drive to Survive when we start reviewing that, so I'll be able to do the Larry. The loud, you have to just speak loudly and enunciate every consonant.
Yes.
And that's the Larry Stroll. Right guy. Video game news. Take it.
All right. So F1 announces a new video game titled F1 Manager 2022. So this is cool in concept. It's a manager game for F1. So you will be a team principal in the video game. Does that excite you?
Maybe on the phone. I can't imagine playing that. It's going to have to be extremely visually enticing to be on a console, right? You said this is going to be on actual consoles, not like a phone app.
PC, Xbox, PS5.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's the other F1 game where you basically manage yourself as a driver and get to actually race. I can't see myself playing this manager on my console over actually racing around in the regular F1 game.
Yeah, we'll see. F1 Manager will be made by a developer called Frontier. This is their first.
Are they in the UK?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
This is their first sports title, but the studio has experience in other management simulation titles, including Planet Coaster, Planet Zoo, and Jurassic World Evolution. So that those three titles give me a little pause as to whether or not this is going to be good for an F1 Manager game.
I mean, those are all ones where you're just like legit building buildings and cages.
Yeah.
Like, it's what are we going to have to build, you know, like the wooden house for our Red Bull team? Like, build the hospitality tents and plan out the menu for the VIPs to come to the paddock club.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's not, that's the thing. For a certain amount of time, that sort of thing might be interesting, the management side and the construction side, potentially, or I guess allocating credits in the cost cap era to developing a car. Maybe you do stuff like that in there, but
yeah,
you can only do that for so long. Like, it's still will pale in comparison to actually racing like in the other game, you know?
Right. I'm only interested if I'm in the game, I'm able to get on the radio and the FIA radio and yell at the race director. And if there's a VR version of this game where I can have Larry Stroll yell in my fucking face because I'm the Aston Martin team principal.
Yeah. Or you can, if you can be the owner, you can be Larry Stroll and you just shit can everybody.
Yeah.
And
just fire everyone.
You go in front of the camera and point your big finger at everybody and get to shake people's hands aggressively.
Oh, yeah.
Crush their knuckles like Larry Stroll does.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, we just want a Larry Stroll simulator.
Yeah, sign me up.
In the metaverse. We want to live a day in the life of Larry Stroll's, live in Larry's loafers for a day. That's what we'd love to do.
Sign me up, dude.
Yeah. It's exciting stuff, man. I mean, I'm not going to poo-poo it and say I don't want more.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Video games and stuff. It'll be fine, but I can't. We'll have to wait and see because I can't see myself leaving the race. If I want to play an F1 game, leaving the actual racing F1 game to do F1 Manager. I'm living life in Larry's loafers.
If my wife catches me playing a F1 Manager game, she's kicking my ass.
Yeah.
There's no room for that.
Thank you all for joining Purple Sector here. Remember, hit us up, 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. Go follow us at Purple Sector Pod on social media. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your pods. Go rate and review the show. We'd appreciate that very much. And go to our social media to see how to join our Fantasy Formula One League. We need to get everyone in there. And spread the word to any of your friends. And when Drive to Survive comes out, you know, keep pounding the pavement for us to get more people in that Fantasy League because, as we just mentioned, it's less than 2 weeks away from starting, so we got to get that league filled up before the actual race in Bahrain. Right, guy, what a joke, by the way. They definitely were snoozing on the fantasy game. They only came out with it like 2 weeks before the season.
The fantasy
Maybe it was just that the site was down for me because I kept getting error messages, you know? So maybe it's my fault.
Oh, it's definitely clunky. We've had multiple listeners hit us up saying, hey, the fantasy platform sucks this year.
Yeah, but
it sucks every year.
Pretend you didn't hear that because it's still going to be fun. So get in there.
Still join our league.
We can all complain about any of the issues that we're all sharing.
And bonus points for funny team names. Can't emphasize that enough.
Of course. Go name your team. If you can't figure out how to do it because of the clunk, hit us up and we'll walk you through it. We're basically the admins for the Formula One Fantasy game, right?
I might have to change my team name to Late Breaking into Mike Crack.
Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of Mike Crack puns are going to show up now after this episode.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks again for listening. Get into the Fantasy League. Drive to Survive is hitting this weekend. We're going to review all those apps before we hit the track in Bahrain for the first race, because there's also Bahrain testing this week. So much shit going on. So buckle up, ride with Purple Sector. See y'all on the track.